We pray, O God, that you will release your word into our hearts, Father, causing us to come alive, O God, to your word, Father, creatively, Father, as your word is manifested within us, Father. We ask you to shape us, we ask you to mold us, we ask you to unfold us, O God, in your righteousness. Release into us, O God, the word that is explained in the faith and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we continue our subject on Jabez's prayer, Father, we pray, O God, that you will enable us, O God, to enter the reality of this prayer, Father, having the intents of this prayer defined in our hearts, in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we will unfold this prayer in its reality of fulfillment in the name of Jesus, that we will unfold this prayer, O God, by the Holy Spirit, that we will unfold this prayer, O God, in the intents and desires of your heart, Father, because nothing can come forth except in your will, Father. So cause us to understand this prayer in your righteousness. Cause us to understand this prayer in the faith and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cause us to understand this prayer in the meaning that stands in the heart of Jesus, Father, so that we may truly express this prayer by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." First Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Right? Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you should keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. The key to spiritual growth is to understand that God must grant us what we carry in our heart. Therefore, everything in our heart must be aligned with what God wants to bring forth. There is no other way in which we can be blessed or we can become a blessing. Because ultimately we know that God is supreme. It is what He desires that will remain. Everything that is not of His intent and His desire, it will not stand. So, it is only smart, it is only intelligent for us to seek to find ourselves in God's will. Jabez found himself in God's will. There were certain things in his life that were aligned in accordance with God's will. And that was the reason why Jabez's prayer was answered. Right? That's the reason why Jabez's prayer was answered. We need to have that sort of a desire in our hearts. We may not fully understand what God's will is. We may not even have a true desire for God's will. But directionally, we must all understand that God's will must come forth. That God's will is good for us. That God's will is a blessing. That God's will is what must stand. Because if anything that is outside of God's will stands, we have already seen the effects of it in our lives. We have seen the effects of our own desires on our own lives. We have seen the effects of our own passions in our own lives. We realize that the flesh manifests death. That the flesh of man is manifested in unrighteousness. And we see that the result of unrighteousness has effects on our lives. We see that walking in sin is not a solution, it is a curse. So Jabez was an honorable man, this verse says. He was an honorable man before God. He was an honorable man. He was a man of character, and he was concerned with his character. He was concerned with how he would stand before God. If we look at the Bible, the character that God wants to build into each one of us is the image of Jesus Christ. The character that God wants to build in each one of us is the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. That which is of Jesus Christ is God wants us to desire it. God wants us to receive it. God wants us to realize it. So as we have been teaching here, we have said that the Word of God is being explained to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. It's being communicated to us in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. It is being expressed into us in His faith and in His love. And God wants us to understand that it is His will that we are unveiled in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. That is His will. And we must have that desire in our hearts to receive of Jesus. As God speaks the Word of God into us, as God explains the Word of God into us, we must understand that when God talks about an honorable man, He's actually talking about Jesus Christ. Right? Jabez was under the law, and he attained some measure of honor before God, under the law. And God honored his law in Jabez's life. But we are not a people of the law. We are walking in the fulfillment of the law. And the reason why we are walking in the fulfillment of the law is because God means to make us a people who stand in His law in our nature, in our character, in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our intents, in our desires, in the way we live, in the way we act. We are the product of God's miracle in Jesus Christ. We are the product of what God wants to bring forth in Jesus' fullness within each one of us. So we are called to be honorable men, honorable women. We are called to give expression to Jesus in our lives. Give expression to Jesus in your life, and God will see you as an honorable person. All right? God will see you as an honorable person. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 18. Now, this is a prayer I have been confessing for more than 11 years, I think. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. This is a prayer that Paul writes, and he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart, right, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance, right? What is the riches of the glory of His inheritance, right? Are you listening? All right? Hearts. All right? Hearts. Okay? Hearts. God is concerned with your heart, and He wants to reveal Jesus Christ to your heart. All right? So, you need to understand, to be an honorable man in the sight of God, your heart must be in the right place. Your heart must be dedicated to the reality of receiving Jesus in your heart. You need to ask God to manifest that. This verse says that the Lord our God will grant you a revelation of Jesus Christ. Right? That's what this verse is saying. It doesn't come by your intents. It comes by God's grace. It comes by God's will. So, you need to understand that to be honorable, you need Jesus in your heart. And that has to be very clearly defined in your heart. All right? You must want Jesus in your heart. Right? You will find that there are two parts to your nature. All of us have it. There's a part of us that wants Jesus. There's a part of us that wants to stay away from Jesus. Right? There's a part of us that wants Jesus to come alive in us and grow in us. And there's a part of us that doesn't want anything to do with Him. You must recognize that such a witness exists within you. One is the witness that God opened to you when you were born again. Witness of blood, water and spirit. The other is the witness of your flesh. The witness of the appetites of your own body. Right? Are you with me? The appetites of your body that exist in you. And you and I have to deal with it. And the only way we can deal with it, right, is in the name of Jesus, by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, by asking God to reveal His Son in us, so that His Son will reign in our hearts, so that the light of His Son will manifest within us. And as the light of Jesus Christ grows in us, the darkness will be removed. As the witness of Jesus Christ becomes stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, the darkness that is inside of us will leave. The darkness that is within us, the strongholds of darkness that have been cultivated from generation to generation to generation to generation, will begin to be broken. Right? they will be uprooted and you will be set free. As Jesus comes alive in you, He comes alive in you with His faith and His love. And His faith and His love can transform your desires. His faith and His love can transform your nature. His faith and His love can transform your character. This is what you must understand. We are honorable only because of Jesus alive in us. We can be honorable only because of Jesus alive in us. We cannot be honored in any other way. All right? We are under a dispensation of grace now. All right? If we intend to be honorable in ourselves, the Bible clearly says that in the flow of grace, our righteousness is filthy rags. So if we attempt to produce honor by trying to project ourselves as being honorable, then this prayer that God answered in Jabez's life will not be applicable to us. Because we are standing in the new covenant. You must understand this. You cannot go back to the old covenant because God did not bring you into salvation through the old covenant. Jabez's prayer was answered in him being an honorable man under the law. You cannot go to that because God doesn't want you to be under that. God has purchased you in the blood of Jesus. And He wants you to understand that your position as an honorable man only exists in Jesus Christ. It only exists in Jesus' name. It cannot exist in any other name. And He wants you to understand, as Jesus Christ is revealed in you, He comes alive in you with His faith and His love. He comes alive in you with His character. He comes alive in you with His light. He comes alive in you with His glory. He comes alive in you because you are a member of His body. He is the head and we are members of His body. So the first thing you need to understand, can you be an honorable man? Yes, you can. Why can you be an honorable man? Because you have the name of Jesus alive in you. You have the witness of His name alive in you. You have a witness of blood, water, and spirit. Because of that witness, you have the potentials of being an honorable person. You have the potentials of becoming more and more honorable in the merits of Jesus Christ with each passing day, with each passing year. You can unveil as someone chosen, anointed, and appointed for a great purpose in eternity, in His merits. Can you see that? So you must understand that this prayer of Jabez is available to you, although you may be a sinful man. Although you may have weaknesses in your character, weaknesses in your nature. You must understand that salvation has been opened to you. And as long as you keep pursuing the name of Jesus, you can attain the position of being an honorable person before God. Alright? So we want to demolish this thing. Oh, I'm a sinful man. Therefore, how is God going to bless me? We are all sinful men. No exceptions. Right? Every person has a problem with pride, with lust, with greed. Right? We may pretend we are not. But if you are put in a situation, you will be amazed at what rises from you. Right? So some people say, I'm a good man. No, we are not. It is Jesus' goodness in us that sustains us. It is Jesus' goodness in us that is going to change us. Right? So when we talk about weaknesses of character, weaknesses of nature, nobody is being pointed here in specifics. Because every weakness that is mentioned in our teachings here applies to everyone who's here, including myself. I hope we get all the bases straight, right? You are a sinner, I'm a sinner, man. Let's not play games with that. You have a problem with lust, I too have a problem with lust. I may not have the same degree of it, but it's there. Hello? No matter who you are. David, who had a heart after God, was tempted by lust. He was tempted by lust because he saw a beautiful woman. Hello. Until he saw that beautiful woman, he had no problem with lust. Hello. You listening? So, Everything in us is developed in the name of Jesus. So we stand in a position of being honorable only in the name of Jesus. All right? Always remember, we get hurt because of our own pride. We get offended because of our own pride. If we had no pride, we will never get offended no matter what somebody says about us. Hello, it's a fact. Jesus went to the cross, he was abused, he was crucified, he was tortured, he was ridiculed. He never took offense. Hello. And he is the only person who really had a reason to take offense. And yet he took no offense. All right? So if somebody says something and you get hurt, you get angry, always remember, at the basis of all that is pride. Right? Jesus didn't get hurt, although they put nails into his body. He was physically hurt, but in his soul and in his spirit, he was not hurt. That's why we have salvation. All right? So we stand before God as an honorable people because someone was willing to die for us. Everything that he expressed on the cross is for us. And because God has said it is for them, we can say we are an honorable people. We have the potentials of unveiling as an honorable people because everything in Jesus Christ is available for our use. It's available for our development. It is available for the molding of our character. It's available for the molding of our nature. It is available for the molding of our thoughts. It's available for the molding of our emotions. It is available for the molding of our minds. It is available for everything in us, in spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that is something we must understand. That is something we must appreciate. So the moment we try to be honorable by ourselves, under the dispensation of grace, you are actually rejecting Jesus Christ. That's why it is unacceptable under grace to live by the law. Because if you go back to the law, you are saying that the grace of that is God has given you in Jesus Christ is not good enough for you. That is the implication when you go back to the law. That's the implication when you go back to the law and you start trying to tell people to live by the law. They cannot live by the law. You can only pretend to live by the law. And God doesn't want you to grow as a pretender, pretending that you are righteous. He wants you to understand absolutely and clearly that your righteousness is Jesus Christ and nothing else. Your righteousness is not because you can pray 24 hours of the day. Your righteousness is not because you can pray in tongues 24 hours of the day. Your righteousness is not because you are an apostle. Your righteousness exists only in the faith and love of Jesus Christ. Do you understand what we are saying? Therefore, you are an honorable person. Because Jesus died for you. Therefore, you have a future because Jesus died for you. So we must understand this word honorable very clearly. Because otherwise we will be strutting around like peacocks thinking that we have paid the price for what God has given us. We have paid the price for the position that we occupy in the church. We have paid the price for the ministry we have had. We have paid the price for success. You cannot pay the price for what God has given you in the merits of Jesus Christ. So as we look at Jabez's prayer, we must understand we are looking at Jabez's prayer under the dispensation of grace, not under the dispensation of the law. And you must understand that very clearly, and you must walk in that very clearly. All right? So we need to understand and know that in the new dispensation, in the new covenant, we only stand in Jesus' name. We all have character flaws. We all have problems with the way we do things and the way we react to situations and circumstances in life. that we have all been given salvation. We have all been given the hope of salvation. We have all been given a hope in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that hope established on Jesus Christ will purify you even as He is pure. Obviously, it will take time, but 100% it will come forth. Nobody can stop it. Nobody can change it. The only key is that you must set your hope on Jesus Christ. And if you set your hope on Jesus Christ, you are walking in His honor. You are walking in His honor. Therefore, you are an honorable person. Therefore, the Bible says you are blessed with every blessing in the spiritual and heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Because you are in Christ Jesus. Because you carry the name of Jesus. Because the witness of the cross is alive in you. It may not be spectacularly alive in you, but it is alive in you. And where it is alive, it is the beginning. And therefore, if it is the beginning, there is no end to it. And therefore, you can confidently go forth in your life and say, Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. Expand my territories. Cause me to change. Cause me to be what you want me to be. Cause me to become what you want me to be. Enlarge my heart. Enlarge my mind in the character and nature of Jesus Christ. Cause me to come alive to His nature. Cause me to come alive in His faith. Let His faith become my faith. Let His love become my love. Let His character be formed in me. Teach me to receive Him. Teach me to want Him. Teach me to desire Him. Teach me to take hold of Him, to cling to Him. Teach me to understand that as long as I keep looking at Him, as long as I keep receiving Him, I will change. And I will grow into becoming more and more of an honorable man. Are you with me? We are trying to demolish some false concepts that Satan has birthed in the lives of so many millions of Christians. So many millions of Christians think they are unworthy. And that is by definition false. Because you are worthy in the blood of the Lamb. You may not be able to pray many hours. You may not be even be able to read many chapters of the Bible. You may not even be able to know many parts of the Scriptures. Yet, because of what God has done for you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, all the potentials of honor, all the potentials of God's blessings, all the potentials of God doing change and expanding you are all there for you. The question is, do you want to walk into it? And today we are going to address that question. Do you want to walk into it? Do you want to make the choice? And when you make the choice, you must understand the choice can only stand in Jesus' name. The choice can only stand in the faith and love of Jesus. You must understand that I can walk in God's ways because I can receive and realize the faith and love of Jesus. I can walk on water because I can receive the faith and love of Jesus. It will take time, but it will come. And nobody can take that away from me. Therefore, if I can receive the faith and love of Jesus, if I can be trained to realize all things in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ, if I can be continuously molded in His image, there is nothing that cannot be given to me. So in John chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says, all that the Father has is mine. In John chapter 16, verse 14, He says, the Holy Spirit will take of mine and He will disclose it to you. It is your right to receive it. Under the new covenant, you receive it because it is by grace. Of His fullness, we have all received. John 1, 16. Grace upon grace. In His fullness is communicated to us in His spirit and His life. His fullness is communicated to us in His faith and His love for us. His fullness is communicated to us in His character and in His nature. And God is saying, here is a character and a nature that could make you a perfect person, a wonderful person. Do you want it or not? That's the choice we have to make. Do I want Jesus or not? As long as you are prepared to articulate in your heart and in your mouth, I want Jesus Christ, God will work towards that. No matter how weak you are, God will work towards this. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's turn to that. Verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. If you have a New American Standard, you will find it says, my power is made perfect in weakness. So, there is nothing to despise in your weakness. Hello? There is nothing to despise in your weakness. Your weakness is an opportunity for you to realize the strength of God. Are you listening? We are talking spiritual language. We are not talking the logic of the world. This is not the logic of the world. It says, you are a weak person. Am I a weak person? Yes. Are you a weak person? Yes. The person who says he is not weak has lost out on grace. The person who says, I am strong has lost out on grace. He has decided to stand in his own strength. That's what it means when you say, I am strong. When you say, I am weak, what does it say? I need everything. I need everything that will make me stand. I need everything that will make me tick. That is what the meaning of grace is. Right? So you must understand that. Under the new dispensation is all grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. But it is not cheap grace. You must understand that grace is given to you in the name of Jesus. Grace is given to you in the faith and love of Jesus. You cannot appropriate the faith and love of Jesus with having crooked intentions in your heart. You cannot receive the faith and love of Jesus having crooked intentions in your heart. So you say, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. You know there's a part of you that says no. There's a part of you that says yes too. But you need to say that I need to be like Jesus. You need to continually take it before God and you say, Lord, as I say this, I know that there are parts of me that don't want it. But Lord, I know you can deal with those parts. I know that you can give me strength that I don't have. You can give me the power that I don't have. You can bring healing inside of me. You can create a new heart for me. You can transform my mind. You can transform my thoughts. You can enable me to love you. And this witness that says, I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus, it can be put to death. As long as I keep choosing Jesus Christ. Hello? We all spend time praying. But what is your prayer based on? I have a need, Lord. You must understand that the solution to that need, the solution to that want, is in Jesus Christ. You must learn to communicate that want and that need in Jesus' name, in Jesus' character and Jesus' nature. I want to be a rich man. Why do you want to be a rich man? So that you can have a fleet of big cars in your house, so that everyone around you will look up to you. That is not the reason to be rich. It is not that God doesn't want you to be rich. What God wants you to do is to be rich in the right way. To be rich and to have a heart that will be a blessing. That you will not lead a selfish, self-centered life. Right? That you will not strut around like a peacock. Just living for yourself and for your own children and for your own family. And everything is I, me and mine. So when the Bible talks of the riches of God's glory, what is it talking about? It is talking fundamentally of a character. Because in Exodus, when Moses asked to see the character of God, he asked to see the glory of God, God described his character. Why would he describe his character? He said, I am compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, truth and forgiveness. Why did he describe his character? Because the glory was based on his character. He could hold that glory because of his character. And that character God proved through the cross. And that character is the basis of all honor. And that character is what God wants to bring into our lives. Now, if you choose to reject that, then you need to understand that everything in the scripture is not for you. Every promise and every blessing in the scripture is definitely not for you. Even if you are given it, you will turn it into a curse. Because a character not in conformance to Christ Jesus will misuse everything. And we must understand that. So how do we become honorable people? In and by and through Jesus Christ. By all that the Holy Spirit unveils. There are also Christians who want to be Christ-like in their own strength. They want to have a version of Jesus Christ that is their version. That too is unacceptable. Because Jesus Christ can only be unveiled by the Holy Spirit. I didn't say so. He said so. He said so. It is the Holy Spirit that will unveil Jesus Christ as the truth. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Only truth can unveil truth. So we need to understand that to be honorable, we must be alive to the name of Jesus. We must be alive in the name of Jesus. We must be alive through the name of Jesus. There is no other name by which we can be alive to God. It will not work. It will not work. And we must understand that clearly in our thought processes. So that when we go before God and we must pray in the name of Jesus. And that doesn't simply mean that you mention the name of Jesus after every sentence. It means that the intents of your prayer must be in line with His character. You understand what I'm saying? The words of your prayer must be in line with His character. The reasons for your prayer must be in line with His character. If it's not in line with His character, it is not in His name. Because His name is about who He is and all that He is. Amen? Are we understanding this? Right? All of us need to be blessed, brother. All of us need to be blessed. We need to be blessed because we need to come forth as a blessing. The purpose of salvation is to remove the curse and to unveil the blessing. The purpose of salvation is so that you and I can begin this process, this eternal process of being a growing blessing forever and forever and forever and forever. The day you don't want to be a blessing, you have decided to be a curse. The day you don't want to be a blessing, the day you have decided that I have given enough, that's the day you have said, I don't want any more blessings. That's the day you have decided that there's enough of this salvation. So don't think you cannot reject salvation. You can. You can reject salvation by rejecting the idea of becoming a blessing. Hello. That's why the Bible describes you as a morning star. There is no limit to what kind of a morning star you can become. There is only one bright morning star, but there are going to be many types of morning stars, many kinds of morning stars, big ones, small ones, bigger ones, and bigger ones. Forever and ever, these are morning stars that will grow and will grow and will grow. Why will they grow? Because it is God's will to bless His creation. It is God's will to bless His creation because it is God's will to unveil the goodness of His heart. We worship God because He is a good God. We worship God, you can actually only worship God when you taste His love. What is the purpose of a blessing? The purpose of the blessing is to unveil the love of God. You can only bless someone in the love of God that is alive in you. You cannot bless somebody else in your love. You cannot bless somebody else in your righteousness. It is the love of God, it is the righteousness of God that must unveil through you. If you want to bless somebody in your love and in your righteousness, you have gone back to the law. If you are going to bless somebody in grace, then you must understand, in grace there is only the love of God. Everything comes from God. Everything is received from God. By grace, you cannot say, I earned it. God gave me this because I prayed so long. Because the reason you prayed so long is also because God enabled you to pray. The reason why you prayed all those wonderful words is because God enabled you to bring those words out. If He did not enable you to bring those words out, you would never have spoken those words of life. So under grace, God is the provider. So under grace, those who stand as morning stars have nothing to boast about except in the goodness of God. Under the law, people will be saying, I'm a better person than you. And in a sense, it is true. Because under the law, everyone practices the law at some level. But the moment you move under grace, it is all given. Your righteousness is given. The fact that you have become a holy vessel of God is given. The fact that you can pray for 10 hours is given. The fact that you are an apostle standing and blessing thousands upon thousands of people is given. Right? Are you with me? It is given. So you cannot boast for what has been given to you free of charge. What has been given to you in the merits of someone else. So you must understand what the new covenant means. The new covenant is a covenant of grace. It's a covenant of the heart of God. It's a covenant of His love. It is a covenant of His blessings. It's a covenant of His promises. And He wants you to understand that all of that comes to you by grace. It is given to you so that you will be in turn a blessing. And the moment you choose not to be a blessing, you have rejected grace. And the moment you start rejecting grace, you are beginning to walk into the realm of blasphemy. Because grace comes to you by the Holy Spirit of grace, the Spirit of grace. Let me show you the verse that talks about that. I think it is found in Hebrews. Verse chapter 10. Verse 29. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Insulted the Spirit of grace. Trample underfoot the Son of God. Hello? How do you trample underfoot Jesus Christ when you reject everything He has done and replace it with yourself? Lucifer committed blasphemy because he rejected everything that God gave him. He rejected it as something that was given to him entirely because of God's love, not because of anything that he earned. Lucifer thought he deserved to be great. Lucifer thought he deserved to be even like God. Are you with me? So we are to be honorable people, and the reason why we are to be honorable people is so that we will be a blessing. Do you realize that as God blesses you, you will become more honorable? Do you realize that as God expands your territories, you will become greater and therefore more honorable? Do you realize that that whole prayer of Jabez is based on unfolding us as honorable people? Right? Who are a blessing. So here we are. Seemingly nothing much comes out of us. And God is just asking us to walk by faith, understanding that He will bless us. God wants us to understand that He will bless us. He must bless us. It is God's will to bless us. And we must understand the fact that we have to be blessed. If we are not being blessed, something has gone wrong. There are two reasons why we cannot be blessed. One is because we don't believe we can be blessed. The second is because we are refusing the blessing. And you may say, how am I refusing the blessing of God? You're going around saying, woe is me, I'm paying for my sins. Hello, brother, you can't pay for your sins. Hello, you can't pay for your sins. Don't kid yourself, you're going to pay for your sins. The devil comes as the accuser of the brethren and he says, you're not fit, man. You are going to be a pastor. You are going to be someone God is going to use to bless the nations. You are a joke. You are a joke. You can't even think straight. Hello? And you say, amen. That's the wrong prayer. Hello? That is a prayer, you know? So shall it be. Right? Hello? Do you know that we have been doing that over and over again? If not consciously, definitely subconsciously and unconsciously we have been doing that. We have been thinking that God will only bless me when I have attained this. I've passed all my exams, done all my this thing, paid my time, paid my price, then God will bless me. What rubbish is all that? Hello? This attitude of legalism is all over the blooming church. That's why we look such a pathetic sight. Because we are living in our merits, and our merits are filthy rags. So others are looking at us and saying, you are a bunch of yo-yos. Where is your Jesus? And he's missing. He's missing because we don't want to bring him out. We are busy paying for our sins. We are busy trying to get it all right. We are busy trying to fast enough and pray enough and read enough of the Bible. And it's all upside down. To pray enough, you need the grace of God. You need Jesus alive in you because only He really prayed. Now that may shock you. But honestly, only He knew how to pray. But that may astonish you. How can that be? There was Elijah and everybody else. Hello, when Adam and Eve fell, God killed a lamb. The true and faithful witness by which Elijah's ministry was expressed was the witness of Jesus Christ. The lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. That's why Moses could become Moses. All right. So are we thinking straight today? Right? Many people read something in the Bible and immediately in subconscious and unconscious terms they say, this is not for me, I can't make that grade. That's a sin. Because you're rejecting God's power. You're rejecting what God has given you in Jesus Christ. You are rejecting what God has said, I want to do this in your life. Very important to know, my power is perfected in your weakness, says the Lord. So don't despise your weakness and understand you and I are weak. Even in our supposed strengths, our strengths mask an even greater weakness. Our strengths mask an even greater weakness. The moment we start praying in our own strength, we have rejected praying by the Spirit. Hello? The moment we are able to pray for long hours in tongues by our own spirit, we have rejected the Holy Spirit. The moment you do not have a dependence on the Holy Spirit in your witness, you are walking out of grace. You're making a terrible mistake. It's all of us who are weak. Say amen. Right? Because grace begins with the weakness of man. Yet, in grace, all of us are going to be made strong. But as we are made strong, we must never forget that that strength is there because of the greatness of God in our lives. So therefore, for that strength to praise the Lord. So we must understand, you shall love the Lord your God with all your strength. And all your strength came because God loved you. All your strength came because God chose you from the foundations of the world. He knew you. All your strength exists because God decided that He is going to fearfully and wonderfully make you. Isn't that wonderful? So always remember, the solution to being a Christian is discovering the strength of God, discovering the power of God, discovering what God can bring out of your life, discovering everything that God wants to give you. The greatest tragedy of man is that when you start pretending that you are strong in yourself. Because if you are strong in yourself, you're saying, I am honorable in myself. I'm honorable because I am a good man. I'm honorable because I don't tell any lies. I'm honorable because I have been giving so much of money and I can show you my checkbook. Only last week I wrote a check for $5 million. Do you know what a good man I am? You may not say that with your mouth, but you will say that with your heart. So that's one of the reasons why the blessings don't flow as they should, because we do not have the right intentions within us. When the blessing comes, when the blessing is manifested, will the glory belong to God or will the glory belong to us? If the glory belongs to us, we have become a curse. If the glory belongs to God, we have become a blessing and we are well on our way to becoming a greater blessing. Do you understand that? So, bless me indeed, O God. Where does the blessing begin? It begins with your character and your nature. And I'm sorry to bring this up over and over and over again. You cannot be an anointed snake. And you must understand that very clearly. Right? You cannot be an anointed snake. You cannot be an anointed dragon. Right? So it is character that God is looking for. Character in conformance to Christ Jesus. It is the fruits of the Holy Spirit that are your covenant of blessing. They are your passport of blessing. Right? Because the fruits of the Holy Spirit is the nature of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit has brought into your life. Amen? And when you have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, your witness inside of you is one of gratitude. Praise the Lord. So what is Christianity all about? The discovery of God. What is the blessing? Unveiling God, isn't it? What is it that you want to be blessed with? The greatness of God alive through your life. Amen. Are we making sense here? You know, for many years I refused to teach the prosperity teachings because in my deepest insides I thought there was something seriously wrong with it. I couldn't put my finger into it. And so I never thought about prosperity. And yet I knew there is prosperity in the Bible. That God prospered Abraham. That God prospered Moses. That God prospered Elijah. That God prospered Joseph. And in each one of their life, God prospered them very differently. Elijah did not wear three-piece suits. But if Moses had been today around, he would have probably worn a three-piece suit. Right? But all were blessed in different ways. So I realized that it was not whether you wore a three-piece suit or whether you wore camel's rags that was of concern to God. What was of concern to God was that, what, in whose name are you going to stand? In whose name are you going to stand? When the blessing comes, in whose name is that blessing going to be established? Right? So we say, oh Lord, bless me. Yes, but you must have inside of you the intention that in that blessing, oh Lord, manifest the name of Jesus. Let the glory of Jesus Christ be seen. Let me be a vessel. And as you say that prayer, understand that there is a part of you that doesn't want it that way. And you have to take that part before the Lord and you must say, oh Lord, there is a part of me that doesn't want anything of you. Enable me to deal with it. Create in me the desire that Jesus perfected in his life. The desire for you. The desire to serve you. The desire to bless you, Father. Amen? So that's why it is so important that we understand that everything comes to us in Jesus' name. There can be no blessing outside the name of Jesus. For the problem being that it cannot be sustained without the name of Jesus. You can appear to manifest a blessing, but to keep the blessing and to enable that blessing to continue from generation to generation to generation, you need the name of Jesus. You look at the life of Paul, he's blessing even you and me today. He's sitting in heaven. But because he did things in the name of Jesus, today millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people from generation to generation to generation in all eternity will be blessed because Paul lived. But they will be blessed only because Paul unveiled the name of Jesus. That's what you must understand. Correct? That's what it's all about. Not something that just comes and goes. It is what you plant of Jesus in your children that will continue with them forever. It is what you plant of Jesus within your children that will continue into their generations and their children's generations. Because everything that is of the nature of Jesus Christ is eternal. Hello. Hello. You got wisdom now. Right? Everything that is of Jesus Christ is eternal. It has got no end. So he says, my witness to you is faithful and true. My witness is the beginning. The beginning. There is no end to it. So expand my territories, Lord. What does it mean? Unfolding the beginning. Because God is not talking about expanding your territories from here to here. Oh Lord, expand it 3 feet and 4 inches, Lord. That's about all I can manage. Hello, God is raising you up into the heavenlies, man. He's not talking about 5 tons of steel and 48 pounds of gold and headlines in the New Straits Times tomorrow morning. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not talking about a Tansri title conferred on you and that's the end of it. I've reached the ultimate honor. He's talking of you as his son, son of God, a son unto God, a priest of God, a king who stands in God's favor, a prophet who speaks God's word and it will be done. Because it is God's word. But if the prophet speaks his own word, of what use is that word? Just as you can have your own thoughts, you can also see your own visions. Somebody got offended by me for saying that. It's a fact. Can't you have thoughts that are funny thoughts? If you can have funny thoughts, can't you have funny visions? What's the difference between a thought and a vision? Very simple. A vision is pictorial thought. Right? A vision is thought manifested in a picture. So if you can have funny thoughts, why can't you see funny visions? Is that so hard to understand? So if you keep praying in tongues and just training your spirit, man, you will see visions. You can see any vision you want. The question is whether the vision came to you in the name of Jesus or it came into you in your name. Do you realize how important your witness is? So the ending of Jabez's prayer is that I will cause no pain. That I will not bring something that will destroy another person. That I will not tell another person something that is a half-truth or something that is false. That will lead that person into the wrong way. Open the wrong way for that person and lead that person into destruction. So he says what? Oh Lord, let your hand be with me. Hello, the hand of the Lord needs to be with us at all times. Every situation, every circumstance. Make sense, people? Yeah? Praise the Lord. And keep me from evil. Most of us think evil comes from the devil. Hello, most evil comes from us. The biggest problems you have caused in your life have come from you, not from the devil. The biggest problems in your life were caused by you, not by the devil. The devil maybe have facilitated that problem, but he didn't cause it. That's why Jesus says, nothing that comes from outside of you defiles you, except that which comes out of you. You listening? Let there be no evil. Hello. You need God to do a miracle with you and me. Do you know that you need that miracle all the time? Do you know that evil manifested in the Holy of Holies from a covering cherub who decided that he could be good in himself, that he could do what is right in himself, that he could bless in himself? You think he went out and committed physical adultery with another angel or something like that? No. He fell because he decided that he was going to be another God. And when did he start thinking about becoming another God? When he decided that he could do something of himself. Are we making something? Right? Are we making some sense today? So when Jabez's prayer is understood, oh Lord, let me watch the evil that comes out of me. Right? The evil of pride. Pride is the root of all evil. Watch it. We all have that. We have it in abundance. We have it in abundance because we have cultivated it from generation to generation in abundance. Right? Somebody was telling me a very interesting example. A child falls down and the mother takes the cane and beats the floor. The child fell down because of the floor. You know what kind of a thought process you are transmitting? That child is learning that he can do no wrong. That everything that is wrong is always somebody else's fault. Interesting, isn't it? Huh? How we human beings behave. All in the name of love. And it's a false love. Praise the Lord. So let us not do any evil. So protect us from evil. Protect us from the evil that comes alive in our thoughts, in our emotions, in our intents, in our desires, in our attitudes. Do you realize how many people explain truth away? Do you realize that Christians can sit down and argue over the scriptures? Do you think that that is close to blasphemy? That we should argue over the scriptures? Do you realize that truth is by definition eternal? Yet there are scholars who will say this part of the Bible ended at the time of the apostles. God doesn't do miracles anymore. Isn't that absurd? That's what you mean by evil. When we use our hearts and our minds to manipulate things to our own agendas, to explain away our weaknesses. Are we sinners? Yes, we are. Are we righteous? Yes, we are. So how can I be a sinner and be righteous? Because of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, I am righteous. I'm only a sinner when I leave him aside and start doing things on my own. As if I live in Jesus 24 hours of the day, I will be a perfect man. Am I right? So am I righteous and you are righteous? Yes, we are. As long as we are alive in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, we are righteous. The moment we move to the other witness of our own appetites, we have walked into unrighteousness. Simple. Right? When we walk into our own appetites, we are walking into evil. And that prayer of Jabez says, "Oh Lord, protect me from evil." We always think, protect me from Satan. He's a small problem actually. Protect me from me. Protect me from me first, and then Lord, we will look at the devil. Because if you protect me from me, you have removed 99% of the devil's power over me. Am I right? Correct or not? Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Shall we just pray? Father, we thank you for this prayer of Jabez. We thank you for Jesus, who has come into our lives to fulfill this prayer of Jabez, in his character, in his nature, in his resurrection power, in his love for us, expressed in blood. So Father, we thank you and bless you for the faith of Jesus, for the love of Jesus. We bless you and thank you for your righteousness being expressed in us in the faith and love of Jesus. And we know, Father, that as we receive the faith and love of Jesus, we will walk into great things, Father. We will rise, O God, to be honorable men, because, Father, we will stand in the merits of the Lamb. And so as we stand before you today, Father, we ask you to answer the prayer of Jabez in our lives, to manifest the prayer of Jabez into our thoughts, into our desires, into our character, by the Holy Spirit, entirely in the name of Jesus. Because we know, Lord, that that prayer has been fulfilled. Because Jesus fulfilled the law, and Jesus fulfilled the prophets. And because of that fulfillment, Lord, the prayer of Jabez is ours today. It is ours today in the name of Jesus. It is ours today in the merits of the Lamb. It's ours today because the fullness of Jesus Christ has been given to us, grace upon grace. It is your will, Father. And your will, Father, must be done. So, Lord, we thank you that you're going to bless us as we learn, O God, that in our weaknesses, the power of Jesus Christ is perfected. And that is the meaning of grace, Lord. So give us the grace that will enable us to live Jesus. Give us the grace that will enable us to discover more of Jesus. Give us the grace, O God, that will enable us to walk by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Give us the grace that will see the beauty of your heart, Father. We pray all things in the name of Jesus. We pray all things to the glory of your majesty. And we bless you and thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to us these words. May they be in our heart and may they grow in our heart in the faith and love of Jesus forever and forever to the Father's glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Luke 22. Luke 22. Verse 14, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Everything is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. The prayer of Jabez must always be understood in the context of the kingdom of God. Why do you want to be a blessing? Because you are going to be part of God's plan to build his kingdom. You're going to be an instrument for that building. You are going to, in your life, the Passover of the Lamb is going to be celebrated. In your life, in my life, in the lives of our brethren across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile, in each one of our lives, the Passover of the Lamb is going to be celebrated. And the Passover of the Lamb is a blessing. It is God's ultimate, purest, and greatest blessing. God cannot bless us in any other greater form. And in the Passover of the Lamb is the blessing. Everything that Jesus consecrated in his sacrifice is given to us in the Passover of the Lamb. So Jesus says, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. I want to celebrate it in your life. I am giving my life to you so that I will sit with you and celebrate that fulfillment in your life. I will celebrate it in your nature. I will celebrate it in your character. I will celebrate it in every blessing and anointing I unveil in your life. I will celebrate it in your calling. I will celebrate it with your family. I will celebrate it, right? In every aspect of your life. Isn't that wonderful? And do you realize that that celebration happens through the witness that he has opened within you? Have you come alive to the fact when Jesus is pleased with you? And you know that he loves you, that he's taken great delight in something you have done or something you have said. Right? All that is part of God's Passover. One day, our whole life will be a delight. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Right? The joy of the Lord is one day going to radiate out of our faces. There will be no more wrinkles there. There will be no more pock marks. There will be no more cold looks, right? There will be no more drooping lips, right? There will be a radiance from our faces 24 hours of the day. It will be like the sun shining. It will be a beauty like never seen before. That in spite of whatever form our face may be, that when the light of the Lord shines through us, there will be beauty. Whether we are dark skinned like me, or we are light-skinned like somebody else, right? It doesn't really make a difference. Because when the light of the Lord manifests, everything will become brightness. So the Passover of the Lamb is a delight in our lives, right? And you need to understand that Passover is being unveiled through all that you are becoming, right? So when you ask the Lord, bless me, O God, extend my boundaries. Always you must understand that extension of your boundaries, that blessing is all in this Passover. Now where does this Passover stand? It stands in the Mount of the Lord. That means your heart ascends into the hill of the Lord. You may be physically standing somewhere. You may be doing ministry somewhere else. You may be building a financial empire to finance the kingdom of God, but your Passover is always before God. Am I making sense? Right? So no matter where you stand, your heart is called to stand before God. Your heart is called to pass over into the Mount of the Lord. Amen? And in the Mount of the Lord, there is an intimacy with God. And you can feel that intimacy in your heart. You can feel, right? You can feel because the reasons why you are living is for the Lord. It's your life. It's your heartbeat. It's your breath. Right? It is wonderful to bless God. All right. Verse 17. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. What was in the cup? Wine. What was the wine symbolizing prophetically? His blood. So what is the Lord saying? What I have expressed in blood, you take it and you share it. What has Jesus Christ given to us in His blood? His faith and His love for us. And He says, take it and share it. Share my faith, share my love. So if you are going to be a blessing to somebody else, then you must be able to share the faith of Jesus and the love of Jesus. Because that person who is dying needs the faith of Jesus. Right? So ministry ultimately, your life and my life should be a manifestation of the faith and love of Jesus. Hello? If He is the head and we are His body, the body must be manifesting everything that the head carries, correct? If you look at your own body, and assuming that your body is going to live by faith, your body can only live by the faith that you actually carry. It's the same faith that flows throughout the body. So if we are part of Jesus' body, whose faith are we supposed to receive and realize and manifest? The faith of Jesus. Alright? We must understand that that is what God is bringing forth in our lives. Okay? Praise the Lord. That's what this Passover is all about. Manifesting the faith and love of Jesus. Amen? Manifesting the faith and love of Jesus. So He says, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Where is the kingdom of God going to come? Within us, amongst us. It is only as the kingdom of God is manifested in your life that Jesus celebrates the fruitfulness. Right? Fruitfulness. Wine represents new life too. So out of the blood comes life. New life. New life because of whose faith? Jesus' faith and Jesus' love. That's why you and I can change. That's why we must understand that we will change. No matter what kind of hang-ups, no matter what kind of flaws of character we have, we will change. Amen? Because it is Jesus' desire to celebrate this Passover with us. Amen? It is Jesus' desire to celebrate this Passover with you. It is Jesus' desire to see this Passover unveil from your life. So if you think church is boring, ask the Lord to change that. If you're not willing to say that, then church will always be boring. But somewhere along the line, you have to get down on your knees and you've got to ask the Lord, make church interesting. Make the things that are in the Scripture interesting to me. Transform my thought processes. So this feeling of boredom will be removed once and for all and forever. That it will be completely taken away and destroyed because it is false. It is false. Because there's nothing more exciting than Jesus Christ. Amen. That's true. If we haven't discovered it, then we need to ask for it. Praise the Lord. Verse 19 and 20. And He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Ultimately, the remembrance of Jesus Christ is in His faith and His love that we have realized. I will repeat that. Ultimately, remembering Jesus Christ is living the faith and love of Jesus. Living the life of Jesus. Living Jesus through everything that we do. Is it possible? Definitely it is possible. Because it is possible, there is salvation. Amen? So, don't reject that. Right? That is the Father's will. That is why there is salvation. Likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. What is He saying? The entire oath of God's word is in my blood. What is in His blood? His faith and His love for you. So, what are we doing when we're celebrating this Passover? We are celebrating God's grace. Hello? Everything in this Passover is going to be an unveiling and a revelation of God's grace. Nothing less, nothing more. Yeah? Shall we pray? Karabashikiri Anamasandabari Anamazanda. Agurabashikiri Vesukiri Anamasandabari Anamazanda. Father, we bless you and thank you for the sacrifice of the Lamb expressed prophetically in the elements of bread and wine. And Father, we realize, O God, that in this Passover is a new creation. Our creation in Christ Jesus. Our creation in His faith and His love. Our creation, Father, to be unveiled in each one of us uniquely, Father. The sacrifice of the Lamb. So as we come together as a church, Father, we come together with our brethren across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile, Father. And Father God, we choose to celebrate the Passover of Mashiach Yeshua, Father, in our lives, knowing, Father, that this Passover will be fulfilled in each and every one of our lives. It will be fulfilled to the glory of your majesty. It will be fulfilled in the merits of the Lamb. It will be fulfilled, O God, in His faith and in His love. It will be fulfilled, O God, to the glory of your majesty, Father. And we celebrate, O God, the glory of your majesty. We celebrate your grace, Father. Sanctify, therefore, these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unveiling is each, O God, as a new creation in Christ Jesus, able to go forth, be blessed, and be a blessing, Father, in all that we become in thought, word, and in deed. Deliver us from all evil, Father, by manifesting in us the substance of the bread of life. Deliver us from all evil by unveiling the witness of blood, water, and spirit within each one of us. Enable us to die to self by living through the cross of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, unveiling us each as a new creation in Christ Jesus. We celebrate this Passover to the glory of your majesty, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we celebrate the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of His fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. It is the realization of grace and truth, Father, that is your blessing to us, Father. Every form of every blessing in our lives is going to be unveiled in grace and in truth, Father. Truth that sets us free, and grace that enables us to grow from strength to strength in you and by you and through you, Lord Jesus. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you worship, we give you praise for the substance of the bread of life, the substance of your fullness, the bread of the holy, the bread of the most holy, the bread of the presence, and the bread of the hidden manna of your name. Unveil your name in us and enable us to live by who you are and by all that you are, Lord Jesus. Manifest in us the substance of true life. We receive the blood of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in the substance of bread, Father. And we pray, O God, for our creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. The blood of the Lamb is life to us, Lord. In the blood is the realization of a new covenant, Father. We pray for that covenant to be fully realized through the witness of blood. We pray for that covenant to be sanctified into our being through the washing of the water of the Word. And we pray for that covenant to be enabled in us through the clothing with the Spirit of Christ. And we pray for this new covenant to unveil, Father, because the purpose of the blessing is to establish the covenant in our lives. So we ask you, Lord, to manifest in us the power to become a blessing, Father, in all that we do in thought, word, and in deed. Release to us the witness of blood, water, and spirit. Release to us the power of the cross, that we may be transformed and be brought forth as a new creation in Christ Jesus. We celebrate this new creation in Jesus' name. Amen.